this power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to set every captive free, to open blind eyes and deaf ears, that the lame will walk. There is nothing our God cannot do. Oh God, we thank you for your mercies this day, that you are with us here now. Lord, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and you are the good shepherd and the lover of our soul. And God, we find our completeness in you. Our hope is in you, Lord. Our life is in you. All that we have need of is in you. Lord, you are the author of life, the author and finisher of our faith. You've gone before us and you've opened the way into the holiest through your precious blood, that we may with confidence, with boldness, enter in behind the veil into the most holy place, into the very throne of our Father, and find all the mercy, all the grace that we have need of there. So yes, I can do all things through who strengthens me. Amen. By his ability. Thank you, Lord. Well, how many have realized by now that your life is a process? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so you have to be conditioned for a race. You can't just get out of bed one morning after eating Doritos for 10 years and run a marathon, right? You got to be developed and ready for that. Well, you won't run very far, let's put it that way. But what God wants to do is develop us and strengthen and equip and prepare us for what he has, which is better than what we think we want for us. We all have our ideas of what the perfect life would look like. You know, especially when we're children, we dream about, you know, growing up. And some people actually, you know, become firemen like Paul, right? And you know, my folks thought I was going to be a doctor or a scientist because I was always intrigued by bugs, you know, and catching bugs. I had a bug collection, you know. You take that penny, you just run it right through them and stick them to a, you know, TMI, but, you know. And the uglier the bug, the more interesting, you know. I don't know why, but it was just kind of like, yeah. So we dream, don't we? And when we're children, you know, most children, they have aspirations, they have desire, they have dreams, and some of them are realistic, some of them are not. But God puts eternity in our hearts. God puts desire in us. And God has a plan for every one of us, you know, a unique purpose for you. And God wants you to discover it, to search it out, to know it, and to live it, live out your purpose. And so in order to finish our race with joy, to finish well, we need patience in the process. And so the title of the message is Patience in the Process. And as a text, I want to begin with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to share. And Lord, I rely upon you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. So help me today. Grant me utterance to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. So we should never judge God by our own thoughts and ways. And yet, sometimes we do. We may be tempted to think that, well, it was my thought, and therefore it must be in agreement with God's thought. You know, we come up with these ideas of even how we want to serve God, you know, that may not be based in reality, but based upon something that we think would be good for us. You know, when the Lord comes to dwell within us, we do receive the capability of hearing his voice. So we can know the Lord. We can know his thoughts. But only through an ongoing personal relationship with Jesus are you going to be able to really discern and know the voice of God. Amen. It's like any other relationship. You need to spend time with a person to really get to know them. Sometimes we want to quickly run, you know, the race and get out ahead of God because of maybe we have a desire to do for God, to please the Lord, to serve the Lord, to do right. And that's a good thing. Amen. But we need to learn how to walk with God and not get ahead of God. You know, sometimes you see the little kid in the mall running in front of his mom and dad way out ahead, right? And they got to kind of keep him within reaching distance, right? Or that child sometimes will get too far ahead and they're not able to catch up with him maybe. But God has a rhythm for your life. He has a certain pace for you, and you need to learn how to walk carefully with the Holy Spirit every day. So that's the way that we're going to bear fruit, because we can do nothing apart from Him, but all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens me. So God often thinks and acts in ways that transcend our natural ability to comprehend. And we even see this in the gospel message itself. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Natural men cannot comprehend the things of God. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. God shows the message, amen, the preaching of the message, the truth of what the Lord has done for us to come to faith and trust and hope in Him. And understanding that it's not of us, salvation is of the Lord. It's not something you can do for yourself. It's something He does for you because you trust Him. And it's very important to understand that, otherwise you're going to be striving to earn credit for God to love you and like you more. And God wants us to relax, enjoy the journey, and have a fellowship, have a relationship with Him every day, and do life together with Him. 1 Corinthians 1:21, since God in His wisdom saw to it that the world would never know Him through human wisdom, He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. So man, natural man, cannot know God unless God is what? Revealed. And who is it that reveals God to us? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? He will reveal the Father to us. So it is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. You know? So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He didn't say He's just a way to wisdom. He's not a way to power, but He is the power and wisdom of God. See, we are complete in Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness. And so we can only be complete in Him who is complete, who is holy. You can only be holy as you abide in the Holy One. He's the one that makes us holy. Amen. Now we have a responsibility. Amen. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to control ourselves, to tell our outer man or our fleshly man, the earthly man, what to do, and not allow that part of us to dictate. Now, sometimes the things that we consider to be good for us are not what God considers to be good for us. Can you agree with that? And vice versa. Sometimes the thing God considers to be good for us are not what we would consider to be good for us. Now, this is where we need to come to a place of full, confident assurance, faith, trust that God knows best. Even when we don't get it, when we don't comprehend with our natural reason, because our natural reason, again, is hostile to God. We need the mind of Christ. Amen. We need a revelation, amen, as to what God is doing. And sometimes God will allow you to know what He's doing. Sometimes He's going to be silent. Because if you trust somebody, you don't have to have all the answers. You just know that their heart is good and they mean well. They've got my back. His ways are not our ways. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And Luke talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, if we ask God for, you know, his spirit, he will give us all that we have need of. That's God's heart. But, you know, Matthew says things. So there's also, there are things, you know, of God. But what we don't want to do is get caught up in the seeking the things of God and rather than God himself. Because God is personal. He's our Father and he wants a relationship with his children. So we don't want to get caught up into just asking God for things all the time and not wanting him. Jesus said that our Heavenly Father wants to give good things to his children. Now, would you agree that any good parent would only want what is good for their children? Of course, right? So Jesus asked the question, Matthew 7, verse 9, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Question. So we know if we ask God for his good gifts, he is more than willing to give them to us. Jesus made that clear. Can you agree with that? Okay. Now, what are his good gifts? What does God consider a good thing? See, this is where sometimes our minds don't necessarily align with the mind of God. Our natural understanding cannot comprehend the things of God except that God would allow us to see it and understand what he's doing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So if our Heavenly Father knows best and only wants the best for us, then we can rest assured that he will always do what is best for us, again, even when we don't understand. Why? Here's an example. A child doesn't always understand what their parents are doing or why their parents do what they do. None of us tell our children everything we're doing. We don't have to. We're the parent. Because I told you so. I always hated to hear that. And I don't say that. I don't recommend that you do that because sometimes your children need to learn. Amen. And they need to know why you're doing things, especially if it... to them, it's not making sense. It's a good idea maybe to explain it to them, right? But why do I need to clean my room? Take a bath. Eat vegetables. Oh, those canned peas, you know. Of course, I don't know if there's any food value in those anyways, but I'd sit for many hours at the table. You ain't leaving until you eat those peas. We're gonna hold out as long as we can here. Good for you. So, you know, our children, when they're young, you tell them, your room is a mess, clean it up. Well, to a child, that may not be a good thing. Because I want to be lazy, I don't want to have to pick up after myself. But if you want your child to grow up and be organized, you have to teach them when they're young to pick up their room and how to organize. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know where I'm going with this, right? Why do I need to take a bath? Well, that should be an obvious one, but to a child, it's like, I don't want a bath. When we try to give our dogs a bath, oh no. One of them is pretty patient. The other one is like, no, I don't want that bath. Believe me, you need a bath. And unfortunately, they've never grown to learn why. But hopefully our children will grow up someday, hello, and learn that a bath is actually a good thing. Especially when you become an adult. Hello. Yeah, I highly recommend it. But you don't wait until they're an adult to teach them how to take a bath. I remember working in a halfway house one time and with some disabled adults that in some cases they were never taught to bathe. They grew up very dysfunctionally, and you had to actually teach them the value of taking a bath. You know, well, it's healthy for one thing, and people will certainly, you know, appreciate you a little more too. You know, you got to tell your kids that you just can't eat candy for lunch. You know, I like just eat candy all the time. Well, that's not good for you. Well, that's not a good thing that I have to eat vegetables and not candy. Well, you tell them why. You explain, listen, These things are good for you. If you want to grow healthy, you want to grow strong, then you need to eat the right types of things. And if you're not used to eating the right things, you need to develop an appetite for the right types of things by practicing eating the right types of things. And after a while, you can find that if you change your diet to something that's more healthy from a McDonald's diet, you know, at first you're going to be like, oh man, this is bad. But after a while, you can develop an appetite and an appreciation for how good you feel after eating vegetables. Hello. Right? And all of a sudden, the brain fog goes away. God wants us to eat well, to be healthy. He wants us to grow up and be productive. He wants us to get to a place in our lives where we willingly submit to Him and trust Him and know that He has only best intentions for us. And what He's dealing with us right now in our lives about is actually something we may not understand now or appreciate it, but we have to trust and know that God is actually doing something good for you, even when it seems bad. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because if you don't trust the heart of God, you will start to accuse God of evil doing when things aren't going the way you think they should. Because God's ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we have to think that God created me. He knows the product. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work for me. I have to get to a place where I fully trust Him. And only when you get to the place where you are fully trusting Him, are you in a place where you can rest in Him and quit striving with Him. And just say, okay, Lord, You know best. We're going with Your program. I'm setting my agenda aside, my program aside. We're going to do it Your way because Your way is superior to my way. Even though I don't understand because of my own immaturity or my own blindness, I'm going to trust Your heart and I'm going to go and I'm going to willingly submit myself to You and to Your will for my life because I trust You. See, a child relies completely on their parents to provide, to protect, right? To care for them, to comfort them, everything they need. But hopefully again, when a child grows, they become productive. They learn how to walk in the ways of their parents. When you're training your children, you want to train them in the things that you know have worked well in your life. Isn't that right? So you're hoping that the lessons you learned in life, okay, and even the mistakes that you made, your children won't have to repeat that. You can teach them the right way and say, this is what I did and it didn't work. This is what I did and it did work. And so you're hoping that by investing in your child, that child will eventually grow up, amen, and learn that my parents are actually smarter than they thought than I thought they were. You've heard it said, the older I get, the smarter my parents become, you know. So our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father, the all-wise God, knows everything, amen, and He knows the way for us. He knows what works for us. And we got to get to a place, guys, where we quit striving with our Maker. And we're just saying, Lord, we're doing it Your way. Because I've discovered that my way is not a good way. I know some people that finish their course thinking, like Frank Sinatra was it, I did it my way. Well, how did that work in the end? Because the day is coming when we will see the Lord. Every knee will bow to Him. Amen. There is coming a day of judgment. And I want to know that I have lived my life well. I've run this race well. I have done the will of God. And there will be, amen, a warm welcome into heaven. Because I've been a faithful, amen, servant to the faithful one. So He knows what's best for us. So here it is. Ready? God allows things in our lives that we would not choose for ourselves. God gives us what we don't ask for and what we don't want. This is the truth. I know this isn't popular and you don't hear very many messages about this, but God will give you things that you don't want, but they're actually good for you. You just don't realize it at the time. Just like a child doesn't understand why his parents do what they do. Why do you take the garbage out? And sometimes we have to learn the hard lesson of disobedience because we're not listening to their advice. And when we disobey our father, if we're sons, then he will chastise us because he loves us enough to do so, to get our attention, to straighten us out, to put us back on the right path, because his path is good. His way is life. He wants us to enjoy the fullness that he purchased for us at the cross. He doesn't want us to live a dysfunctional and defeated life. He wants us to live in his victory, to have life and peace in the Spirit, and to have an inheritance someday. Remember Joseph. Joseph suffered many things in his lifetime. But these things that Joseph suffered, even though he didn't understand at the time, were all part of God's plan for him. Remember, he was sold as a slave, or he was rejected, right, by his brothers. He was forsaken by them, thrown into a pit, sold into Egypt as a slave, right? And then next thing you know, he's having a little bit of victory, it seemed like. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of trying to seduce her. And next thing you know, he's back in the slammer again. Can you imagine what Joseph was thinking? Here's the young man that had the dream, you know, that his parents and his brothers would bow down to him. And his dad was one of his dad's favorites. And he had a nice coat of many colors, you know. And so he comes out, he's talking about all these high and lofty things. And his brother said, let's get rid of him. His jealous brothers, amen, turned on him. Oh, you always were the favorite. How many know that God can do with us whatever he wants with us and however he wants? Because we belong to him. Amen. My brother, my sister, you belong to Jesus. Amen. So he can take care of you. He can do whatever he wants in your life. What I need to do is learn how to celebrate what God is doing in your life. Amen. And not get jealous over what God's doing in your life, but celebrate what God is doing in your life. And know that everybody has been uniquely gifted, amen, and brought together, amen. So together we make a full package and a full expression of the Lord. And so everybody here that's in Christ needs to know that you are important. You are value. You have a part in all of this. You shouldn't have a sense of belonging here because we are the family of the Lord. Amen. And so Joseph, you know, at the end, God, of course, God turned his captivity, didn't he? And now his brothers are coming to him, not realizing who he was and needing some assistance. The famine had come into the land and they were starving. And so they said, well, go to Egypt and possibly we may be able to get some food to survive on. And so guess who they get to see? Their brother Joseph, the same one that they forsook. Isn't that amazing? And what did Joseph do? Well, he played with them for a little while first. But I think he got convicted by doing that. It says that he wept and he turned away. And then he finally revealed who he was to his brothers. And they all fell on him and he wept. And he says, listen, Genesis 50 and verse 18. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph here, he shows great mercy. He said in verse 19, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? He's saying, is it up to me to avenge you? Verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So the evil things that happened to Joseph turned out for what? Good in the end. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to do what? To save many people alive. Joseph suffered. He paid a price to be savior of his people. Amen. And so likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered unfairly. Suffered many things for us. Why? Because it was in God's plan for him in order to bring what? Many sons to glory. That's you and I. So we see a type of that, of Christ, don't we? In this story of Joseph, he showed mercy to his brother. And that's what the Lord has done for us. He has shown us great mercy. We don't deserve what He's done for us. But God loves us so much and wanted us to be with Him so much that it took the cross, it took the horrific suffering of the cross to make it possible for us to be reconciled to Him, to be united with Him, brought back into right fellowship with Him again. This is the love of God that was poured out for us at the cross. For God so what loved the world that He gave to the ones that didn't deserve it, He died. And so He suffered many things, but listen to what James said in chapter 1, verse 2. Many of us sometimes read this cringingly. But my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But here, verse 4, very important, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, without the trials, without the difficulties, you will not grow up. Whether you like it or not, we're in this process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, but God is preparing a people. He's working in your life. So even the things that don't seem to make sense and the questions we have sometimes, why God and why me, or did I do something to deserve this? You might not have done anything to deserve what's happened, but God allowed it because He is getting you ready for something great. And He needs to know that He's going to have someone that He won't lose. And so in order to develop us in our character and make us steadfast and make us strong and steady, God has to allow trials to come across our way, amen, so that we will become developed in our inner man and our character so that we can stand up in the evil day and not, amen, collapse under pressure. We don't know what the future holds, but we're certainly in turbulent times. And God is working on His people and developing character, a steadfastness in us so that we will be able to endure whatever comes our way and be able to keep our head above the waves and to be an example to others that are going to be looking for someone who knows their God, knows how to get a hold of God, who has stability in their life because of the presence of God. And God's going to use you and I. And so be willing to say yes and submit yourself to the will of God, even when it doesn't feel good. Even when it's something that you would not have chosen for yourself, you need to know that God has purpose in everything that He allows in our lives because we belong to Him. And Jesus said that we're in the very palm of our Father's hand. Do you believe that? So you can rest assured that God's got your back, even though things get crazy. Storms may come our way. So let patience have its what? Perfect work, meaning complete or mature work. You can't pray your way out of God's dealings. Have you discovered that yet? Certainly we should pray, but you can't pray your way out of God's dealings. When God's going to take you through the rivers, guess what? You're going to have to go through the rivers. All right? Well, Lord, if you just build a bridge, it would be a lot easier. No, God says you're going to go through the river. But I'm going to be with you because He wants to bring us to maturity and He's going to feed us what we need in order to accomplish this goal. And it's not necessarily what we want. Joseph didn't choose betrayal, did he? Of course not, right? He didn't choose false accusation or imprisonment for himself. And obviously it was a difficult time for him. But the Lord used those things to bring Joseph into the place where he could be greatly used for His purposes, for the Lord's purposes. So sometimes when problems come, see if you don't identify with me in this one. We try and look for a shortcut. We try to get out of it. We try to avoid it. And sometimes instead of consulting the Lord as to His purpose in it, we rush to the medicine cabinet or to the doctor or to a therapist. How many know there's no shortcut in the development of endurance in our lives? You have to let patience have its perfect work. There's a process. So when we learn to cooperate with God in the process, we become mature Christians and will lack none of the graces of His Spirit. He said you'll be complete, lacking nothing. All right? You'll be in a place of fruitfulness in your lives. God is in the process of pruning us from unnecessary things and developing us in our character. So He has somebody, amen, that He can rely on for His purpose to be accomplished in this world. So the Lord wants us to be complete, lacking nothing. Now, we should remember, obviously, no problem is too big for God. And in certain cases, the problems in our lives are never removed. These are the mysteries. There are times when we have done everything we know to do. And sometimes after years of prayer, God comes through with a miracle. But other times, there are things that are in our lives that we're just going to have to live with. I don't care how much faith you have. There are certain things in your lives that you're going to have to live with. Has you discovered that already, right? I know there's some theology that says that with faith you can change anything in your situation in your life and everything is going to happen because you have faith. Well, if you have faith in God's word and God's promise, yes. But what is God saying? Oh. Not what do you think, but what does God think about it? Not what is your way, but what is God's way in this matter? I'm willing to receive the thing that maybe I wouldn't want for me, but I have to trust God's heart that it's going to be good for me in the long run. How many have gone through some things that at the time you did not like it? But now you can look back and say, but I'm glad that I had that experience now. Not so many hands. Yeah, sure, right? Because we go back and we can look and say, but the Lord was with me. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord sustained me. The Lord helped me. He brought me through, amen, on dry ground. Because He wants to bring me into His destiny that He has for me. God has a destiny for you. He wants you to arrive there on time. Amen. He wants you to be complete, bearing good fruit. The problems we have, whether it's relationships, you know, just struggles in life in general. You know, God brings people into our path sometimes, as I heard someone say, that are sandpaper people. But sandpaper can make the rough edges smooth in our lives. Paul asked the Lord three times, remember, to remove the infirmity in his body, or the messenger of Satan to buffet him. What did God say? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. There's a reason why this had to happen. And it kept Paul humble and a position where God can continue to use him and not lose him. Because, you know, we all have the potential when God begins to use us to get proud. Mm-hmm. So a tree must be pruned in order to bear what? Fruit, greater fruitfulness. In John 15:2, everyone knows this. Every branch in me, that would be in Christ, those in Christ, that does not bear fruit, He does what? Takes away. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut one way or another. You're either going to be cut in pruning or cut away. That's what He said. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may what? Bear more fruit. Are you bearing more fruit lately? We'll give it time. God knows how to work, and God is patient with us in the process. Natural man is incapable of knowing God or His ways. But God revealed Himself to Moses, didn't He? Moses knew God's ways. It says in Psalms 103:7, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. So now, sometimes we may get tempted to get angry at God because He doesn't do things the way we expect Him to. Getting angry at God is a sign we're prideful and not fully trusting Him. Because God is perfect in all of His ways. God doesn't make mistakes. He is perfection. He is holy, completely whole. Are you hearing me? We're tainted, but He's not. So God doesn't make mistakes. So if I'm angry at God because of a situation that I couldn't control, And if he allowed it for some reason, it means that I am prideful and thinking that somehow I'm smarter than he is and I have a better way than he does. And why did you allow this to happen? And sometimes we don't understand why in the time it's happening, why it's happening to me. But you got to know, even as Joseph didn't understand initially what was going on and the bad things did happen to him. But God says, I turned it around for good. So that at the end, God did what exalted Joseph. Into a place where then he could be an effective servant of the Lord and help his people. Hallelujah. In a time of need. God wants you and I to be in that place. Again, God's going to allow things in our lives that we would not choose for ourselves. Well, why is this? Because God is wiser than we are. James 1:2, again, this is in the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What is he saying here? He fully trusted the Lord. He knew his life was in the hands of the Lord. He knew the Lord knew what he was doing in his life. And it didn't matter whether he understood or not. But he did know God's heart was good and redemptive. And that God would always reward faithfulness. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Here it is. I can tell you a few times in my life, I won't go into it today, when I had to go through a long trial, and it just seemed like it was endless. But then God, you know. And you know, I grew up as an angry young man. I've told you some of this, and had a really bad temper. When I got saved, all right, that temper was still there. So I'd be talking to people about Jesus, and the next minute I'm just throwing things across the room, you know. But God said, okay, we're going to have to work on that. And you know how God worked on that? By starting to allow more and more tests to come my way and opportunities for me, amen, to rely upon him and learn that his grace would be sufficient for me to overcome myself and get control of myself and learn how to control my emotions. So my emotions aren't controlling me, but I'm controlling them now. At least most of the time. So he said in verse 4, what? Let your endurance grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be what? Perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, remember Jonah. Jonah had an issue with the will of God for him, right? But God wouldn't let him off the hook, no pun intended. So the Lord had to prepare, what? A great fish for him to get his attention, to bring him into the place where he needed to be so that he would do what God started to, you know, told him to do. So that he would complete that work. And so we learn from Jonah that it doesn't work to try to run away from God and from his call in your life. You need to run to him and say, okay, Lord, I give up. Don't be like Jonah, all right? Don't be like a stubborn horse or mule that has to be bridled because God knows what's best. Now, if you belong to Jesus today, then God will discipline you. God will prune you. He'll bring you to a place of fruitfulness. Hebrews 12:6 says this, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Well, nowadays, that's a different story, isn't it? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So sometimes this idea that everything is going to be going my way now because I'm a Christian. Enough said, right? Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And Proverbs 15 and verse 10 says, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. And he who hates correction will die. So we have to understand that correction is good. We need correction in our lives. And if I'm getting mad because I'm being corrected, it means that part of me has to die. Because it means I'm prideful. Come on. But a humble individual will receive correction and appreciate it. Even though sometimes you can say, ow, right, that hurt, but it hurt so good. So discipline, this is what I want to say, discipline from the Lord is not always a result of wrongdoing. It's not always because I did something wrong that this is happening. It can be, but not always. But it's always a means to bring us to a place of willing submission to His will so that we might bear more fruit. Israel arrives at the bitter pools of Marah in the wilderness. You remember the story? And God gave them this instruction. Here they are, they had wandered 3 days, right? And they were thirsty. And they finally come to a place where they thought there was water. And they discovered that the water was what? It was bitter. And Marah means bitterness, right? So Exodus 15:26, and He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. Who put the diseases on the Egyptians? God did. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now remember, they showed Him a branch, didn't He? Cast into the water and the waters were healed. Why did that happen? Well, initially they thought, why, God, did you bring us here? We've been thirsty for 3 days now. We finally get to a place and our hopes are so high. And now they probably rejoiced because there was water. And then they went to drink the water. It was what? Bitter. Ever had those things happen in your life where you think you had a breakthrough? Only to have another chapter two come on? But what did God do? God performed a miracle, though, in the midst of that. And He showed them and He taught them a lesson that day. That I'm the one that can make your bitter sweet. I can turn your captivity. And so that was part of God's plan for Israel. They didn't understand that. They didn't get it. All right. But we probably would have done the same thing. We said, what in the world? Why did you bring us out here? Many people complained, didn't they? God didn't like it. Because He was trying to teach them to trust Him. So God, He brought them to a place. God had brought them to a place where they would not have chosen for themselves. Because He needed to teach them something. So when things happen to you that you don't understand and things are allowed to happen in your life that you don't like, you need to trust everything. Amen. Trust the Lord in everything. And don't be wise in your own understanding. You're not going to be able to figure out everything God does. But even as a child doesn't know everything that their parents do and why they do it, as they grow and as they mature, they appreciate what their parents did for them. Even the fact that they had to take the garbage out. So that when they became adult, they wouldn't allow the garbage to collect in their house and rot, amen, and cause sickness. There's a reason why we do what we do, all right? And there's a reason why God does what He does, and His ways are higher than our ways, so they're not always going to agree with your natural reasoning and saying, what, why, God? And maybe the Lord will teach you something in that. He may not. But the bottom line is, do we trust the Lord unconditionally? Are we willing to trust Him with our lives? You see, sometimes we're afraid to make the full commitment, the full plunge. We say it with our mouths, but we're unwilling to really, really, really give Him the whole offering. Because we're not quite there yet. We're not fully trusting yet. And we're afraid that we might lose something if we do. All you'll do is gain life. All you do is gain a destiny, amen, that is eternal. Hallelujah. God wants you to partner with Him to sow your life in this world, amen, that you may gain it there. That you might have an inheritance, a treasure in heaven reserved for you. You see, we're only here for a short time. We are in, if you will, the boot camp, right, period of our lives. We're in training for reigning. God is preparing a people that will be equipped, amen, and practicing now and developing in character. Hallelujah. Because who you are when you die is who you're going to be forever. And that's why we must be willing to submit ourselves to God and His dealings and give Him our whole life. Hallelujah. Because soon and very soon we will see the King. Amen. The day is coming when every knee will bow to Him. So today is the opportunity God gives us to commit our lives to Him, to trust Him, to know that His plan is superior to ours. His ways are better than our ways. Hallelujah. And His thoughts are superior to our thoughts. And we got to trust His heart, even if we don't understand with our minds. So let patience have its complete work in your life. God wants us to learn how to walk in love and to prepare us for eternity. Hallelujah. And I finish with this. Our faith needs to be in the faithfulness of our God. And not in our own ability to what? To be faithful. If you're trusting in yourself to be faithful, you won't be. But if you're trusting in God's faithfulness, amen, He will give you the grace to be faithful. Because all that we have need of comes from Him. Our life is in Him. All the good fruit is of Him. All the gifts are of Him. Amen. Our life is because of Him. The very next breath we take is because of Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Lord, I thank You for the word today. I thank You for Your help, Holy Spirit. And I thank You, God, that You are for us. And because You're for us, who can be against us? Lord, You gave Yourself for us to prove Your love for us, Lord. And You are faithful to Your promises, that I will never leave You nor forsake You. Lo, I am with You always, even unto the end of the world. We trust You, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for the body of Christ and for the work that You do in and through our lives, Lord, and that You are developing a people, that You are raising up an army, Lord God. Hallelujah, that we will be strong in the Lord and the power of Your might, that we will know who we are in You and who You are in us, that we'll know the authority that You've invested in us, Lord, to go and destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah, to conquer in Your name as You have already gone before us and opened the way and paved the way for us, Lord God. Hallelujah, You've called us to a partner with You now, Lord God, to enforce what You've already done and already accomplished on our behalf. God is just telling you, trust Me now. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. Rely upon My grace, My strength, My help. I will be with you just like I promised. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will what? Direct your path. Hallelujah.